Do you guys have a Bible with you? Do you guys have a Bible? We're going to jump right into it this morning. We are in Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. As you flip there, I'm going to go ahead and read a couple of these verses to you, and then we're going to talk a little bit, we're going to pray, and then we're going to jump into it. So Exodus chapter 18, and I'm going to pick up the story in verse 7. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down, and kissed him. And they asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done for Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Verse 9, then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. We've been studying the book of Exodus, and we've been, for the past couple of weeks, studying their life and the deliverance that God gave them. For 430 years, these people were slaves. For 430 years, it was years of bondage. And then God finally raises up a man by the name of Moses. And Moses goes to Egypt. Moses and Aaron do and say all that God asked them to. After 10 plagues, Pharaoh eventually and all of Egypt is like, yo, get out of here. So 430 years have passed by. You've been slave your whole life. You don't know what freedom looks like. You have ideas of what freedom should look like. And God in his mercy, right? The Bible tells us that, like, a study tells us that from Egypt to the promised land was like an 11 days travel. And yet these people take 40 years in the wilderness. We've been saying this week after week, right? God delivered his people out of Egypt in one day. He took them out of Egypt in one day. But it was going to take the people of God 40 years to take Egypt out of them. And God in his mercy is going to teach his people what freedom looks like. He's going to teach his people some things. And this passage is very important because here we have Moses. He is a leader of the people. This is a couple of chapters before God's going to give the Ten Commandments. And Moses is burning himself out. Moses, like, I don't know if you've ever been to the DMV. Some of you are a little young. But if you've been to the DMV, like, times, like, 1,000, if, on a good day, right? Think about this. 2 to 3 million people, like, they've been in the wilderness for 2 months. And, like, I don't know about you, but, like, sometimes you're going to have some problems with some people. 2 to 3 million people, and there's only one person judging. There's only one person giving orders, and that's Moses. And they've only been in the wilderness for 2 months. They still got 40 years. At this pace, your boy Moses, he's gone quick. And Jethro is his father-in-law, which is kind of ironic, and it's just kind of funny that his father-in-law is telling them, we're going to see this, hey, this is what you got to do. If you want to last, like, in the ministry, like, if you want to continue doing what God's called you to do, you're going to have to take a step back. You're going to have to raise up a team. You're going to have to build a team, and with that, move forward. Okay, so I don't want to give you the whole message right up front, but I think Exodus 18 is going to help us answer the question, what in the world am I doing? Why in the world am I here? Two simple questions that I believe Exodus 18 is going to help us understand. Whether I know that in a room like this, I know that there are some of you who know what, like, I know God's called me to do this. Whether if that's like, I know God's called me to, like, in this workspace. I know that God's called me perhaps in ministry. I know God's called me, like in like mute. Like, I know this is what God, like, there are some of you that know that. There are some of you who perhaps are, like, trying to figure out, like, okay, like, I know God has a plan. I know God has a purpose for me, but, like, I'm not exactly sure what, like, I'm doing, like, where we're going. And now there's some of you who perhaps, like, have probably lost hope. Maybe I've done some mistakes. Maybe I've gone through some things, and I don't know that God can use me. So I know there's three types of people in this room, and wherever you stand, wherever, whatever part of your journey you're in faith, I believe that today will help you. I believe that today we're all going to leave this room with a little bit more of a sense of direction as to where God wants to take us next. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump into it. Would you guys pray with me? Jesus, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for your word. That it's alive, that it's active, that it's inside of us, Jesus. I thank you that we can come into this room, into a space like this, and we can open your word. Jesus, would you speak to us? Would you confront us? Would you love us? Jesus, we thank you, we adore you, and we all pray this in your name. And Jesus, we thank you. Amen. The title of today's message, if you're taking notes, is Step Into Your Purpose. Step into your purpose. Has your phone ever died on you while you were driving and you were using it for GPS and you had no charger in your car? A couple of years ago, I was working for this financial company, and honestly, I had this really crazy title. Had this big title. I was like the marketing director of I don't know what. Like, I had this pretty big title, and to be honest, the title didn't match what I did. I honestly, I was like just running the boss's errands and like, hey, I need you to fill the like build a desk, so they would drive and build a desk. But it was just funny, you know, because since I had a big title, whenever I walked into one of our locations, like all the señoras would be like, oh, like Señor Correa's coming in, you know. So they like start like working, and I was probably wasn't saved or anything, but like I would like, you know, like kind of like look at their laptops to make sure they were working. But that wasn't my role, you know. But because I had a title, people thought like, oh, like this guy can fire me on the spot. You know, so they'll start like, hey, can I borrow a computer? Like, yeah, please take my desk and stuff. Like, it was bad, right? And then I was like driving like in my car. Like, I had the 286. Like, dang, this guy's balling. I wasn't, but you know, fake it till you make it, right? One of these days, they asked me to go to our Fontana location. That's by San Bernardino. And I drive and I'm there. And all they wanted was a picture of the door. I'm like, dude, you couldn't ask, like, one of, like, the people that work there, like, send you a picture of the door. Like, literally, I got to say, hey, what do you want me to do? Like, hey, can you take a picture of the door? Like, okay, here, what else? Now you're good, bro, you can drive back. I was like, bro, really? Literally. Okay, so like, this, it's already, like, 2 p.m., and I'm ready to drive home. I don't have a charger in my car, and I'm a mile away from getting into the freeway. My phone dies. Now, a part of me was like, yo, just pull over, buy a charger. Now, stubborn side of me was like, you got this. Like, you're good with directions. And I've always taken pride of being good with directions. Now, an hour later, I find myself in Lake Paris. Now, something inside of me is like, pull over, buy a charger. Stubborn part of me was like, keep driving, you'll finally get there. 30 minutes later, I'm in Bible College, Murrieta. What was supposed to be an hour and a half drive back home turned into a 3.5 hour back home. Why am I telling you this story? Because at some point, I convinced myself that if I just keep going, I'm going to get there. But how many of you know that direction is more important than speed? Like, imagine getting into a car, driving 1,000 miles per hour. I don't think it's, you're driving 1,000 miles per hour. 3 weeks later, you're like, wait, where was I going? Now, for me, the cost of going the wrong way and just keep driving, like, the cost for me was gas money, time, and a little bit of frustration. But what I'm scared is that there are many of us in here that perhaps have been just driving in life. You know, if I just keep going, then eventually I'll just, you know, fall into my purpose. If I just, you know, just it's all about speed. It's all about achieving all that I can, even though it's not what I want to do. And I just need to keep going, I'll finally get there. And Maybe you've wasted some of the best years in your life when all you had to do was literally just pause and, all right, where are we going? What are we doing? Do I need to change the direction? My pastor Hector always tells me, a change of direction, like a little bit, at first doesn't like make a big difference. Like if you're on a boat and you like switch it like the direction like a little bit, like 1 mile down the road, like you're like, it's like right there, like there's no difference. But like 10 years down the road, it'll take you to two completely parts of the world. So direction is very important. And when we come to the story of Exodus chapter 18, we come to a moment where it gives us a picture. It shows us what really God has called us to do. I'm going to give you two big words, and don't get scared. They're probably not that scary, but I'm going to explain them. So there's something called the general purpose, and there's something called a specific purpose. Now, general purpose on this side is something that God's called all believers to do. This is something we're all called to be. This is general purpose. This is something that we, and this is what God's called me to put it this way. When you give your life to Jesus, he invites you to be part of like his soccer team. And we heard this example. Now, specific purpose is now what role do you play in that team? Speaking of soccer, LAFC is going to win today. We believe that. Amen. In this house. God loves that team. Carlos Vela, let's go. Zlatan who? All right. General purpose. This is what we're all called to do. Specific purpose is, hey, this is what you're called. Like, my role in this church is like, hey, you know, teach and like counsel. Like, do like, this is what I know God's called me to do. Now, what we've all been called to do is like, you know, purity and like, you know, we're all called to like evangelize. Like, that's general calling, okay? So these two are going to be very important as we look at today's text. Now, this message is not on like quit your job and like travel the world. It's not one of those messages like I'm not going to tell you to quit. But maybe perhaps if you can't switch and you can't change what's happening around you, maybe you can change your perspective. So maybe God like maybe during worship you're like, God, if the, like my job burns down, like I'm cool with it, like it's all good, like I'll just look for another one, right? But perhaps maybe God has you where you're at like on purpose for a purpose. And maybe it's just a sense of direction in the job you're already in the school you're already in the decisions you're about to make, okay? So it's not a sermon on like, yo, quit your job and travel the world and be happy and do it. No. Maybe God already has you where he wants you, but maybe it's just a change of perspective that you need, yeah? So without further ado, Exodus chapter 18, and I'm going to start reading in verse 1. So Jethro, we already heard of him. He's his father-in-law. So Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought them out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back with her two sons, of whom one's name was Gershon, for he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land, and the other... And the name of the other was Eleazar, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he encamped at the mountain of God. Now he had said to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming back to you. Verse 7. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent. Now verse 8 is very important. This is important right here. And Moses, keyword, told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done for Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. Another keyword phrase right here. All the hardship that had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord, keyword, delivered them. Then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Verse 11, we're almost done here. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which They behaved proudly. He was above them. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with the elders of Egypt to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. I think Moses exemplifies what all, we're going to talk about general purpose for a second, what all believers, what all Jesus followers are called to do. I think we can get lost in the details and the symbolism in this passage, which there are a lot. But I believe that at the heart of this narrative, at the heart of what we just read, what drives this whole conversation is the testimony that Moses gives Jethro about all that God did for him and for his people. So Moses exemplifies for us what followers of Jesus are called to do. So whether you work a 9-to-5, whether you own your own business, whether you are a stay-at-home mom, whether you're in between jobs, politically way to say you don't have a job, right? So whether you're in between jobs or you're in college, you're in high school, so no matter what your occupation is in this life, this is something we're all called to do, right? So now the first point and the first observation is the task we all share. This is the task we all share. Verse 8, and Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done for Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord delivered him. This right here is the first time we have a believer share the gospel to an unbeliever. First time. Right here. In Exodus chapter 18, and by a show of hands, class participation, let me see your hands if you have, and I think it's going to be everyone, if you have a family member that's not a believer, if you have like one of your close friends in your circle that's probably not a believer, let me see your hands. Perhaps you have a coworker. It's got to be everybody. Now, And this is no way guilt trip, but if right now, like God were to come back, right now, who in your life would stay back, and would it be worth it? Like, would it be worth it? Like, who would you leave behind? Perhaps a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, an aunt, a best friend, a coworker. Would you're saved? Amen. Praise God, and you're good. But would it be worth it, though? You see, we've all been called in here, like we good, right? But like out these walls, like it's the mission field. Like out these walls, there's like real people with real problems, with brokenness, and God's called us to be a light in these places. You see, I may never go where you are. I may never meet like your tia, your tio, I may never meet your coworkers, your bestie, right? But God's placed you there. The Bible says, hey, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not saying like, hey, physically go into all. Yeah, some are called to be missionaries. But what's the world God's placed you in? What's your sphere of influence? God's called you there. And I love the passage before Jesus goes back to heaven. In Matthew chapter 20, he's like, hey, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And here's the promise. I am with you even to the ends of the earth. Now, the context of that, and sometimes we put them on like coffee mugs and like, yeah, the Lord's with me and let's go. But the context of that promise is in the context of evangelism. The context of this promise is when you go into the world, when you share my gospel, when you share the good news, when you share your story, when you share all that I have done for you, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. How effective would we be if we realized and we actually like took it into consideration that the moment we gave our lives to Jesus, like he called us to die to ourselves? Like how much more effective would we be if we actually realize, yo, like, I'm already dead. Like my life is not mine. Like, it's the Lord. So if they reject me, cool. This is the mission field God's called us into. This is the general purpose. And I love Moses. Because you're like, all right, cool, David. Like, I got to share the gospel. But how do I do it, like, on Tuesday and, like, on Wednesday? And how do I do this? Moses gives us a perfect example really quick in verse 8 again. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on their way. So Moses begins by sharing his story. Hey, this is what God's done to us. This is what God has. This is what God has done. We've had some hardships. I'm not gonna lie to you, bro. There's been some tough things in my life. We've seen a Red Sea. We've been in front of an impossible situation. We almost they almost stoned me last chapter. Like it was bad. But God's been good though. You see, you all have a story, and your story matters, and your story is so important. Because God has given each one, if I got this mic and I started past, we'd be in here for hours. Everybody has a story. But people relate to stories. There's a study that says after 2 years, every Christian loses all their secular friends. Study after 2 or 3 years, when you become a believer, almost all Christians lose all their secular friends. And it's not because they all they all turn to Christ, bro. It's because now, you're, mean, and, now, you just want to, hit them with the word, you know? But you got to sometimes, you got to catch the fish before you can clean the fish, and sometimes we've been out there trying to clean the fish before we've even caught anything. We need to catch the fish before we clean the fish. And I struggle with this, too. I'm not just, throwing it out there at you, you know? No, I struggle with this, too. When was the last time you had a meaningful conversation with someone that wasn't a believer? And it's not because I'm going to make them my friend because they're going to hook it up, with the car. No, you, actually cared for someone that wasn't a believer, and you had meaningful conversations with them. When was the last time? Because Moses, Jethro was, a priest in Midian, meaning this guy was, way out there. And he comes, Moses, the Bible, we just read it. He goes out to meet him, respect. He hugs him. He kisses him, and not only that, he invites him into his home, and he shares his story. Moses, a believer, the leader of the nation, talks to an unbeliever who is also a priest in another secular and cult nation. When was the last time we had a meaningful conversation with someone? Guys, this is all, we've all been called to do this. It's not just the pastor's job, Leroy's job, Mark, no, this is all of us. This is our responsibility to share our story. Now, I love Moses. He shares his story, but he doesn't leave it there. He then shares the gospel. Check this out. He does this also in verse 8, the second part. So after he shares all that the Lord had done for them, the end of verse 8, it's where it's at. And how the Lord had delivered them. Now that word delivered is also translated how the Lord had saved them. How salvation came to the people. How God split the Red Sea. They saw salvation and how God crushed their enemies. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. On the cross, Jesus split the sea of sin in two so we could walk through and so that we could see salvation. On the cross, he crushed the head of the serpent, guys. This is our story. See, Moses, he shares his story, but then he doesn't leave it there. He shares the gospel. He shares the gospel. And I love the way this story unfolds. Jethro, he becomes a believer. He's like, yo, now I know that the Lord is good. Now I know that he's over all things. Now I know. And then after that, it's crazy. This dude, he starts right. He does these burnt offerings. And they, elders and Aaron come together. They come into the house. They fellowship. Now, I love this right here. This is it. This is the picture right here. I love this. Ooh, this is it this weekly, right? This was it right here. Here you have a man who was not even, Jewish or Hebrew, he was an outsider. He was a Gentile. Okay? He comes to these people. Moses shares his story. He shares the gospel. This guy believes, worships, and has fellowship. An unbeliever, how clear it is, an unbeliever gives his life to God before the law was given. This is before the law. And sometimes we think like, oh, in the Old Testament, like you had to obey the law and that's how you were. No. It was faith. Just how we today receive salvation, the people in the old, same. Except we have our faith in the past that Jesus did come. And these people had their faith in the future that God would send a Messiah. This man, the law and grace are separate things. The law hadn't even come yet. And yet this man that's an outsider receives the gospel, believes the gospel, proclaims the gospel, worships God, and then has fellowship. This is the picture, guys. It's not about what you can do. It's not about, oh, the do's and the don'ts of church. No, it's about believe in Jesus. Believe he is the Son of God. Believe he came. Believe he died. He rose again. And because of all that, he has a purpose for your life. It's general purpose. Now, I'm going to take like 10 minutes, if that's okay. 10 minutes. And I want to talk to you who like already like, yo, this is what God's called me to do. All right? Yeah? All right. Okay. So let's continue reading that last portion of that text. I'm going to read it all up front. And then again, we're going to observe some things. So, second observation, this is what I've titled it, the task only you can do. The task only you can do. Now, I don't know if you've ever, like, if you grew up in church, I don't know if, like, you heard this before, like, if you don't do what God's called you to do, then God's going to raise someone else to do it. You all heard that before? Yeah? It's not true. God's big enough that he can give them a purpose as well. God's called you to do something that only you can do. That only your creativity can come into it. That only your personality can step in. So we're going to talk about a task that only you, that only David can do, that only Hector can do, that only Leroy can do, that only Brandita can do. All right, we're going to talk about that, all right? So God has a plan for you. There's a task that only you can do. So let's look at verse 13. And so it was, like the very next day, that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening, so all day. And so Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people and said, what is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me and I judge between one and another and I make known the statutes of God and his law. So when it comes to your calling, when it comes to the tasks that only you can do, you need to answer the question, what and why? What am I doing and why am I doing this? Jethro asked Moses, what are you doing? Cool. Why are you doing that? What have I been called to do? And why am I doing this? We constantly need to check our, like, we constantly need to check our direction, but we also need to constantly, like, why am I wanting to do this? Am I doing this because, like, I want to, like, be, like, more known? Or because, like, I want to, like, feel like I'm somebody? Is it because, I want, no. So we constantly need to ask ourselves, what are we doing and why? Like, what are our motives behind it? So Jethro comes to Moses and asks him in verse 14, Moses, what are you doing to help these people and why are you doing it alone? And I think it's very important we must ask ourselves, what is my purpose? What is my direction? What is my vision? And what am I trying to accomplish through what I am doing? Because if we don't have a clear vision, it's you getting into a car, driving 1,000 miles per hour, and 3 weeks later asking, what am I doing? So we need to answer the what are we doing and the why are we doing it. And now I'm aware that some of you that, like, I know, like, God's called you and you know this. And all the decisions and all the choices you are making, like, are like, leading you closer into the purpose that God has for you. I understand that there's some of you that are doing that. Now, I'm aware that some of you are not very sure of what God's called you to do. And if that's you, would you consider seeking God in prayer? Would you consider asking him, God, what do you want me to do? Like, God's not a God of confusion. God's going to show you. God's going to lead you into that. But you need to take the time. Like, whether you, like, I don't know, if, like, you go to the beach or you go to, like, I don't know where you're alone or in your room. It's like, God, what do you want me to do? And this is going to take some surrendering of your plan. This is my goals. This is my, like, you're going to have to give that all to God and say, God, I give you control of this. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. If it's not in what I like, my plan, I'm okay with that. It's going to take some surrendering for you to realize what God's called you to do. So you know why knowing what you're doing and why you're doing it is so important? Because it gives you clear direction. In the Bible, every great leader was 100% sure of what they were called to do. Let me show it to you really quick. It was one or two things. Like, I know, like be a traitor of all jacks. No. Like, God's probably called you to one or two things and be good at it, all right? So check this out. Adam was called to care for the Garden of Eden. That was his one gig. Be good at it. That's why you're in this world. Noah, build an ark. Moses, lead the people out and teach my law. Two things. Joshua, take the people into the promised land. One thing. Gideon, you're called to free my people from oppression. Nehemiah, you're called to rebuild the walls. David, you're called to be king and lead my people. Solomon, you're called to build the temple. Isaiah, you're called to preach even if no one listens to you. Jeremiah, you're called to step up even if you're young. Ezekiel, you're called to prophesy everything that I tell you to say. Peter, you're called to build the church. Jesus, you're called to come into this world, serve people, and give your life for people. Philippians chapter 2. Paul, the apostle, you're called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. You see, every great leader in the Bible knew what they were called to do. So that's why it's so important for us to, if you know what you're called to do, do it. And if you're not really sure what God's called you to do, take the time. Don't just drive everywhere. Pause, take the time, pull over. God, what do you, are we going the right way? Do you want me to switch directions? It's so important. All the great leaders in the Bible knew exactly what they were called to do. Cool. So continue reading verse 15. Jethro tells him, I have been called to make known the statutes of God and his law. And Jethro responds this way. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. Both you and this people who are with you will surely wear themselves out, for this is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes of the law, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all people able men, capable men, such as fear of God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all time. Then it will be that every great matter that they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall judge themselves. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. So when it comes to your specific calling, not only do you need to ask the what and the why, but you need to understand that your call, like, this is how you know if you're in your purpose. Your calling will never push you away from people. Your calling will never push you away from people. Verse 17, the thing that you do is not good. Moses, your intentions are good. But the way you're going about it is completely wrong, bro. You're alone. You need a team. You need to bring people into this. The load is too big. And what's interesting to me is that the words of Jethro echo so much of what we see in Genesis chapter 2 in the garden. This is not good. Jethro tells Moses, "This is, you're alone. It's not good." In Genesis 2, God sees Adam alone working. God's like, it's not good. He needs a helper. And I know Genesis 2 speaks of like a marriage, but I think it also translates into every area of life that we were not called to do this alone. That we need people to surround us. We need people to come alongside of us and share this vision that God has given us and walk together. And this speaks to me very personally, because as like a pastor, my immediate reaction is to carry everyone's burden. My initial reaction is like, go to every meeting. My initial reaction is like, fix everyone's problem. My initial reaction is like, be there for everyone, be there for everyone. But as I was studying this passage, it's God's confronted me. It's like, David, you can't do this all alone. Like, you're only 22, bro. By like 30, you're going to be like all white hair. Like, you can't do this. You need people to come alongside, people that are able, people that fear God, people that are capable to do the work of the ministry. Good things are coming for Samia. Y'all know that building next to us, that white building. So we're going to be getting that building very soon. And the reason why we're doing it is because we want to open the doors for the community. It's going to be an art center, meaning we're going to give classes for kids at a free charge. And the way that we're going to be able to support this school, and I don't know how, I don't know if I should probably say, can I say it? Can I say it? No one's here. None of the pastors are here. I'm going to say it. I was like looking for, can I say it? But they're not here. They're in TJ. So some of the things that we want to do is we want to open a coffee shop. We want to open a thrift store in this building, open for the public, because we want to be a place for the community where kids can come study, where kids can come learn about music and stuff. Right? We want to be there in the community. And as we step as a church into this, I can't do this alone. Gilbert, Cynthia can't do this alone. Marco, Leroy, Brandita, Hope, we can't do this alone. We need people like you to come along. Like perhaps maybe you don't know what God's called you to do. Maybe you're in this church for a purpose, with a purpose. And maybe God wants you to step into this vision with us to reach this community. We can't do this alone. Together we are better. And I encourage you, in whatever capacity you want to be a part of this, whether that's serving, whether that's giving, whether that's worship, whether that's welcome with the kids, sound, don't allow us, don't let us do this alone. We need you, I need you, you need me. Together we are better. Yeah? Together we're better. And let's finish this chapter off in verse 23. Jethro tells him, if you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all the people will also go to their places in peace. So Moses heeded the voice of his father and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So they judged the people at all times. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. Third and last one. When it comes to your specific and individual calling, the calling that only you can do, there's going to come hard moments, and you need to endure through those pressures. In verse 23, Jethro tells Moses, if you do this thing, if you build a team, if you don't do this thing alone, and so God commands you, if God says yes to this, then you will be able to endure. Then you'll be able to go through these hard, you'll be able to endure. How do we endure the pressures of life as leaders, as people who are called to do great things? It's by staying teachable. In verse 19, Jethro tells Moses, listen to my voice. Now think about this. Moses is the great leader. God raised Moses to the task. Like, God spoke to Moses. Here comes Jethro, his father-in-law, who's before this is not a believer. He comes to Moses like, yo, listen to me. Listen to my voice. I'm going to give you some advice. Like, Moses could have been like, bro, you just became a Christian like last night, bro. Like, God called me, like, I'm the leader, bro. I should be telling you what to do. You like, bro, come on, like, it's above your pay grade, bro. I got this. But Moses remains teachable. And that's a huge one in our generation. Huge one. Because we all, and I'm including myself with you guys, we think we got it. And when someone tries to come, like, we're like, bro, you can't. If we want to do things together, if we want to accomplish, if you want to step 100% into what God's called you to do, stay teachable. The moment you think you know it all is the moment you're going to stop growing, because you're going to believe that no one can speak into your life. Proverbs 6:6 tells us, hey, learn from the ants. And what does this tell us? That the wise people, the people that want to grow, the people that God wants to use, are people that can learn from anyone. We need to remain teachable. Now, what would our life look like? What would your life look like? What would our church look like, this community, if every single one of us stepped into our purpose, like we know, like, God, this is what you've called me to do. I'm going to go into this. I'm not going to do this life alone, because it's not good for me to be alone. I'm going to bring people around me. I'm going to equip people around me. I want to see them flourish. I'm going to bring them alongside of me. But not only that, our team, what we're doing, we're going to stay teachable. We're going to learn from anyone and anybody. We want to grow. What would this church look like as we step into this next season as a church? How many people could we reach? And what I love about this story, and I'm done with this and the team can come up. I love this because, and this is what I'm done with. What encouraged me this week, and remember I said that there's three people. There's the people who know what God's called me to do, and I'm going to do it, and let's go, and let's achieve it. Let's, you know, build teams. Awesome. There's some people who, right here, you know, I'm not really sure what God's called me to do. You know, take the moment, pray. God's going to guide you. God's not a God of confusion. He's going to lead you into what he's called you to do. Take the time. Be intentional about it. I need to say this before I move to what I'm saying. When God gives you what, he tells you what he's called you to do, it's not going to happen like this. So please remember that. And don't get discouraged when it doesn't happen right away. Moses, for 40 years, was in the palace. Moses, for 40 years, was in the wilderness. He stepped into his purpose when he was 80. Like, we're like 18 and we're freaking out. If God gives you his purpose and it's not happening like next week, don't freak out. Okay? He's building something inside of you. He's building your character so it can sustain your calling. Right, the worst thing that can happen is you get to your calling, but your character disqualifies you for it. All right, so God's building you. Now, this is what encouraged me this weekend. And for those of you who perhaps you feel like, man, I've messed up or I've done some things, and I don't know that God still has a plan and God still has a purpose for my life. This is what encouraged me. Moses. That's so basic, right? Moses. This is what encouraged me. You need to understand the person that God chose to lead his people. Moses, let me remind you a little bit about Moses. Moses, this Moses, is the same Moses that was born into slavery. This is the same Moses that had a death sentence on his back the moment that he was born. This Moses is the same Moses that was raised in a pagan home, the secular home. Pharaoh and all of Egypt raised Moses. The Moses we just read about that's supposed to lead God's people is the same person that murdered someone. So if you murdered someone this morning, God still has a plan and purpose for your life. Like, Moses murdered someone. He had anger problems. Yo, that's actually what disqualified him from going into, like, it was anger problems. And God still used them. Same Moses that was in the wilderness for 40 years and believed and convinced himself that God's done for me, I'm content with where I'm at. Same Moses that was a shepherd for 40 years in the wilderness. The same Moses that was rejected time after time by Pharaoh. The same Moses that was rejected time after time by his people. This is the same Moses that last chapter was about to get stoned by his own people. It's that Moses who God calls to lead people. So whatever you've done, and David, what are you trying to tell me? Your past does not have the sufficient power to stop the purpose that God has placed inside of you. Because you're still breathing, you still have a purpose. So take a deep breath, because Jesus still wants to do something in your life. because the Spirit of God is alive, because the Spirit of God is inside of you. You can step into your purpose with boldness. You don't have to walk through this life alone. You don't have to walk through this life without direction. You have a purpose. You are created with and for destiny. You are not what you've been through. God still wants to do something inside of you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. That's all I got. And that's the encouragement. Whether you know what God's called you to do, build teams. Don't do life alone. Constantly check your heart. Why am I doing this? If you're not sure what God's called you to do, talk to God. He's not a God of confusion. He'll lead you. He'll put you on the right path. Stop running. Stop driving. Pull over. And if you feel like God's done with you, He's not. It's just part of your story. It's making your story better. Yeah? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for the moments we get to study your word. Thank you that although time after time we mess up, time after time things get out of control, you always bring us back with your grace, and you've called us out of the waters into your love, Jesus. I thank you so much for everyone in this room. I thank you because you've given every single person in here, you've given them a purpose, a specific purpose, something only they can do, Jesus. This week, would you give them the boldness to step into that with confidence, knowing that you are with them. Jesus, I pray for us as a church, as we're going to be stepping into this next season. God, would you equip us? Would you raise leaders in this house? Would you equip your people? Jesus, I thank you so much for your love. I thank you so much for your grace. That Jesus is not about all the do's that we can do for you, God. You said, done, it is finished. And Jesus, we accept that. Jesus, we believe that. That it is finished, and we can receive this gift of salvation for free. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we pray this all in your name, and we all say amen. Hey, as we're singing this last song, we have communion set up in the back and over here on your right-hand side. And as we sing this song, take inventory of your life and thank Jesus for all that he's done in your life. Where he's brought you up to this point, and just take the time to meditate and reflect on all that Jesus has done for us. Because of Jesus, we now have access to God the Father. We don't gotta go to no priest. You don't gotta come to David to talk to God. You have access to God. And as we sing this song, that's exactly what we celebrate. Jesus, because of you, I have access to God the Father. So we have stations on your left-hand side, your right-hand side, and behind you guys. Yeah? Let's worship.